Seven European leaders have called on Israel to, quote, immediately reverse its policy of blocking aid from entering Gaza and stop its military operations. In a statement, the leaders vowed not to remain silent in the face of what they called the man-made humanitarian catastrophe that is taking place before the eyes of everyone. They said more than 50,000 Palestinians have lost their lives and many more could starve to death unless immediate action is taken. The statement was signed by the leaders of Iceland, Ireland, Luxembourg, Malta, Norway, Slovenia, and Spain. The seven states rejected the Israeli plans for forced expulsion of the people of Gaza as unacceptable. They also condemned the escalation of violence in the occupied West Bank, including settler attacks and the intensified Israeli military raids. Hamas hailed the statement as a voice of conscience in the face of Israel's crimes. It said the statement exposes the falsity of narratives and lies used by Israel to justify its genocide in Gaza. Now, to talk more on this, we are joined by Mr. Tony Gosling, historian and investigative journalist, joining us from Bristol. Mr. Gosling, nice to see you again. Mr. Gosling, obviously your thoughts on the significance of these seven European countries condemning the Israeli genocide, especially the blocking of humanitarian aid, basically what the Israeli regime is doing, starving the Palestinians to death.
Well, that is what they're doing. And I want to know, why is the name of Great Britain, if it's so great, why isn't Great Britain's name on this list? What about France? What about Germany? What about so-called humanitarian neutral Austria? What about the great cultural icon of the Middle Ages, Italy? Why aren't they on the list? What are these countries? Are they led by inhuman people? Yes, the answer is yes, they are led by inhuman people. This is absolutely awful to see that so many of these countries are not on that list. It's fantastic that some, and what it's showing here is that the European Union has been kind of used as a way to try and galvanize support for a new world order, a United States attitude. For example, the NATO projects around the world. And so what's happening is these various nations that are being bamboozled by Brussels over many of these international conflicts, what they're doing is they're having to break away on their own and say, well, look, hey, guys, this is so terrible what's happening, the starvation. And I can tell you here in Britain, the ordinary population understand exactly what's going on. They know what starvation is. Particularly the Irish, by the way, in their culture, very, very much aware of how famine and starvation can be used as a weapon of war, as it was by the British Empire against the Irish. What I can say, though, is I think what we're seeing is an absolutely incredible change since this genocide began. And that is that the Israelis don't even feel like they have to make excuses for the evil, the crimes, the wickedness that they're inflicting on these mostly civilians. They have such confidence in the infiltration of many Western countries through the civil service, sometimes through the military, sometimes through Freemasonry, into the Western world, that they believe that they can leverage all of these Western nations in Europe, in the Middle East, to support them through their Israel lobby, which is so very powerful, as we know, in Britain and the United States.
That's right, Mr. Gosling. As we say, I was going to talk about the Arab and Muslim countries around the region as well. They have a big role to play as well. They should have, but they haven't. Anyway, Mr. Gosling, we've seen countless condemnations from around the world by many heads of state as well, but yet the Israeli onslaught continues, the Israeli genocide continues. So what concrete action could we see from these seven countries, if any? And in your opinion, what should be done? What is the solution?
Well, look, of course, they should all be putting diplomatic pressure on, particularly on the United States and Donald Trump while he's in the region. I mean, the Mohammed bin Salman and the Saudi Arabians, well, they look as if they're just creatures who were left there by the British when the British created Saudi Arabia back in the beginning of the 1900s. This family have been in charge ever since, and they were put there by the Brits. They don't look, to me, very different from the Israeli occupiers of that part of the world, also left there by the Brits, of course, although the British had a bit more of a fight with the Israelis. But look, Trump is now saying that he wants the, I've just seen, he wants the Palestinians, a million of them, to go to Libya. Libya, a country which Britain and the United States and France have turned into a basket case. It was the best run country in the whole of Africa with the highest living standards, lowest child mortality rate, very good standards of income and state support for families, etc. And now it's just run by a bunch of gangsters and warlords because of the intervention of the European powers. So it's such an insult to say that the Palestinians should go to Libya. What a horrible thing for Trump to say. He's basically saying that he just wants them out of the way, doesn't care where they go. And you, as to your question, in countries like Egypt and Jordan, etc., what are they doing? Well, what I think they should be doing is getting their armed forces to that part of the world. I'm not saying start taking on the Israelis, because we've already got this exchange of ballistic missiles of various sorts starting to appear between Israel and Yemen. I don't think that's a particularly good way to go. But just get make holes in the wall, firstly to get the aid in, and secondly to get anyone that wants to get out, because as people may know, the Egyptians have been charging a massive amount of money for Palestinians just to leave the killing zone, to leave the extermination camp, to leave the concentration camp.
That's right.
And so that is, that's a terrible thing for the Egyptians to do. But that would be a good start. Make it possible for Palestinians to leave if they want, but also, of course, to get food in, get water in, get medical supplies in, and also to be putting on pressure internationally through the international press and at the United Nations to force Israel to call a halt. After all, the only reason the Israelis seem to be doing this is because the political survival of Benjamin Netanyahu, the man of lawlessness who's now running Israel, depends on it.
There you have it, Mr. Tony Gosling, historian and investigative journalist, joining us from Bristol. Mr. Gosling, it's always good talking to you, sir. Thank you for your time.